The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter number 15, Texts number 32 and 33, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 27th, 2011, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Apanao Sani Runjat
Sani Runjat
Pura Kumbhaka
Rekachai Pura
Yavat
Mana
Chadet
Kaman
Sva
Nasa Agra
Nirikshana
Pranapanao Sanirunjat
Pura Kumbhaka
Rechakai
Yavan Manas Chajet
Kaman
Svanasagra Nirikshana Pranapanao Sanirunjat Pura Kumbhaka Rechakai Yavan Manas Chajet
Kaman
Svanasagra Nirikshana Yato Yato Nisharati Manaka Mahatan Brahmat Tatas Tato Paharitya Hiririn Dachchanair Buddha Prana.
Incoming breath.
Apanao.
Outgoing breath.
Sanivrudhyat.
Should stop.
Pura Kumbhaka Rechakai. By inhaling, exhaling, and holding, which are technically known as Puraka, Kumbhaka, and Rechaka. Yavat,
so long,
mana,
the mind,
chajet,
should give up,
kaman,
all material desires,
sva,
one's own.
Nasa Agra,
the tip of the nose.
Nirikshana,
looking at.
Yata Yata,
from whatever and wherever.
Nisarati,
withdraws.
Mana,
the mind.
Kamahatam,
being defeated by lusty desires.
Brahmat, wandering.
Ta-ta,
ta-ta.
From here and there.
Upahritya.
After bringing it back.
Hridi. Within the core of the heart. Runjat.
Should arrest the mind.
Shanai.
Gradually by practice.
Buddha.
A learned yogi.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. While continuously staring at the tip of the nose, a learned yogi practices the breathing exercises through the technical means known as Puraka, Kumbhaka and Rechaka, controlling inhalation and exhalation, and then stopping them both. In this way, the yogi restricts his mind from material attachments and gives up all mental desires. As soon as the mind, being defeated by lusty desires, drifts towards feelings of sense gratification, the yogi should immediately bring it back and arrest it within the core of his heart. Purport. The practice of yoga is concisely explained herein. When this practice of yoga is perfect, one sees the Supersoul, the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within the core of one's heart. However, in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Supreme Lord says, Yoginam api sarveksham madgatena taratmana shadhavan mujate yomam sama yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. A devotee can immediately become a perfect yogi because he practices keeping Krishna constantly within the core of his heart. This is another way to practice yoga easily. The Lord says, Man manava mad bhakto majaji mang namaskuru. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. If one practices devotional service by always keeping Krishna within the core of his heart, man mana, he immediately becomes a first-class yogi. Furthermore, keeping Krishna within the mind is not a difficult task for the devotee. For an ordinary man in the bodily concept of life, the practice of yoga may be helpful, but one who immediately takes to devotional service can immediately become a perfect yogi without difficulty. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunathanvita Sajiva Sadvaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, we all have experience of inhaling. It is not difficult. We all did it. And we all have experience of exhaling also. We all did that. But how many of us can merge our incoming and outgoing breaths and hold ourselves without breathing at all? Maybe for 1 minute we can do. But how about for 1 hour? Or 1 day? Or 1 year? Or for 10 years with no breathing, you see? This is what the yogis can do. See? The real yogis. Not the so-called, modern-day city yogis, but the real yogis. Even these highly accomplished yogis who can completely stop their breathing, it will take them tens of thousands of years to achieve perfection in this way. Srila Prabhupada describes it took Valmiki Muni 60,000 years to become perfect in the yoga system. So, do you have 60,000 years to spare? We're lucky to live to be 60 in this age. What to speak of 60,000? So, Krishna is very kind. Lord Chaitanya is very kind. For those of us who don't have such a long lifespan, nor the ability to merge our incoming and outgoing breath. He has given this process. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Just do kirtan. Kirtan, kirtan, more kirtan, more kirtan, 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 kirtan. This is the perfection of the incoming and outgoing breath. Because when you're doing kirtan, you have to inhale. You have to exhale. So the perfection of the incoming and outgoing breath is Hare Krishna Kirtan. You don't have to hold your breath when you're doing kirtan. You can just dive into the nectar. And Krishna will dance in your heart. Krishna will dance in your heart. And this is described by Rupa Goswami in the Vedagda Madhava. Tunde tundavani riting vitayute tundavali lagdiye karma krodaka dhammani gatiyake kunarvide braspriham Cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jani janita kriyadvin amritai krishneti varnadvai. He says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna,
na have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, this name, this Krishna Nam, is dancing on my tongue. And when that Nama is dancing on my tongue, Krishna, 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 it's emanating so much nectar. More nectar than you have over here in the Gulf of Finland. There's so much nectar that what my one little mouth can taste, what my one little tongue can taste. So Krishna, please give me millions of tongues so I can get more of that nectar. And then when that vibration, Krishna, enters the holes of my ears, there's so much nectar that what my two little ears can take, can collect of that nectar. Therefore, my Lord, give me millions and billions of ears. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental ecstasy. You see, this surpasses the meditation of the yogis. They don't have Krishna in there. They're just trying to keep that mind under control, rigidly control that mind. And finally, when they've got the mind completely under control, then they fix it on the four-armed form of the Lord within the arm. But that Paramatma is not as attractive as Krishna. The Paramatma can't play the flute. He doesn't dance with the gopis. He's not as attractive as Krishna. So they struggle so hard for tens of thousands of years to finally bring their mind under control to simply meditate on the Paramatma. We don't waste our time with that kind of stuff. We just go straight to the original nectar of Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Every day we do transcendental meditation. This Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It contains unlimited nectar. Why is that? Because you're personally meeting God. When you chant your japa, it is your own private darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we can have a darshan with some big important person, we become very happy. But just imagine having your own private personal darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have it right there in your bead bag, Prabhu. It's right there in your bead bag, Mataji. Krishna is right there. He's waiting for you every day that you can come and have your own personal private darshan with the Lord. So who needs all this deep breathing exercise? I have my japa, we have the kirtan. Who needs pranayama, you know? This is so wonderful thing, this Krishna consciousness. In one lifetime, you can achieve the perfection of yoga. Simply give your heart to Krishna, that's all. That wonderful Krishna. He's so attractive, you know. Once you get a little taste of Krishna consciousness, there's nothing in this world that can ever appeal to you again. It's not possible. Krishna is so attractive. One gopi girl, she happened to wander in Braj, down to the bank of the Jamuna at Keshigad. On the full moon night of the Sharad season, and she saw this beautiful boy wearing a yellow dhoti and a peacock feather in his hair. And she was completely enchanted. And then she met another gopi, one of her gopi girlfriends. And she warned her, "My dear gopi girlfriend, Sakhi, but if you have any desire to continue enjoying society, friendship and love in this material world, then don't make the same mistake that I did. Don't go near Keshigat tonight. Because if you go down to Keshigat, there's this beautiful boy. He's placing his flute to his lips, which are just like newly blossomed twigs. A newly a twig, you know, just the flowers came out of a newly blossomed. He's casting sidelong glances. He's looking like this. He's looking back and forth, sidelong glances. His transcendental form bending in three places is very, very bright in the moonlight. So, my dear Sakhi, do not go, do not go, do not go. Because once you get that taste, you see, of Krishna consciousness, nothing in this world can attract you. My godbrother Giriraj Swami, his father was a wealthy attorney. And when he became a brahmachari in our movement, his father came to Mumbai, to bribe him to give up Krishna consciousness with $1 million. But our Giriraj, he was more interested to remaining an impoverished brahmachari than he was to become a millionaire karmi. Actually, an impoverished brahmachari, he is not impoverished. Impoverished means no money. Because if one gives his life to Krishna, then Krishna gives himself to you. If you give yourself to Krishna, Krishna gives himself to you. And Krishna has unlimited facilities. He has unlimited power, unlimited wealth, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited renunciation. He has every opulence unlimitedly. So if you give yourself completely to Krishna, you cannot be lacking in any opulence. Krishna will give you all facility to serve Him. Unlimited facility. The pure devotee of Krishna, he can engage the whole world in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is prepared to give the pure devotee the whole world to engage in His service. So, therefore, we should become the pure devotees. We should give up our attachment to material sense gratification and have one desire and one desire only, to please Krishna. Let my every thought be pleasing to Krishna. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be pleasing to Krishna. Let every action I perform with my body be pleasing to Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the real nectar. As we were discussing last night, Krishna consciousness means ecstasy. And the not be Krishna conscious means morose. So you may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, I see so many non-devotees, they appear very blissful walking up and down the street. They have their arm around their girlfriend. And they have a bottle of beer in their hand. They appear very blissful. But don't be fooled. That's called Maya Sukhaya. It's illusory happiness. One cannot be happy by material sense gratification. Do you know why? Do you know why you cannot be happy by material sense gratification? The answer is very simple. You're not that body. When you gratify your senses, it doesn't touch the self. There's zero satisfaction for the self when you engage in sense gratification. The only way to satisfy the self is to reconnect with God. There's nothing else that satisfies the self. So chant Hare Krishna and achieve the real happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Why people are so attached to sense gratification, even they already tasted Krishna consciousness taste, but still very much attached to sense gratification? Why is this?
Why? Okay.
Почему люди все равно привязаны к чувственному наслаждению, даже если они почувствовали вкус сознания Кришны?
Why is it someone who has tasted Krishna consciousness
is still very much attached to material sense gratification. To become Krishna conscious is a gradual process. In the beginning, we're just slightly Krishna conscious. And we are still polluted with material consciousness. It is natural in the beginning, when one first gets a taste for Krishna consciousness, that you will still have a taste for material sense gratification. That's why we have our regulated principles. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. And chant Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds. So by chanting Hare Krishna, you will increase your taste for Krishna consciousness. And by giving up these sinful activities, you will lose your taste for sense gratification. If someone does not strictly follow the regulative principles, then they will maintain their taste for material sense gratification. It's just like an addiction. If you feed your addiction, you keep your addiction. If you The addiction is unnatural. So if you will starve your addiction, gradually it will go away, but you have to be patient. It's like someone who smokes cigarettes. They become addicted to nicotine. If they don't give their body nicotine, they feel horrible. They have to have nicotine. But that addiction to nicotine is not the natural state. So if the smoker will just tolerate the anxiety and just not smoke anymore, gradually the taste will go away. So those devotees who strictly follow the regulated principles, who do not give in to their material desires, they will quickly develop a taste for the Hare Krishna mantra and lose their taste for material sense gratification. Those who do not strictly follow the regulated principles, they will have a difficult time to give up that taste for material sense gratification. Therefore, we advise everyone, don't feed your addiction to material sense gratification. We all have that addiction. This is a world of sense gratification addicts. We're all addicted to sense gratification. So the key is, don't feed your addiction. Starve your addiction. Steve, feed yourself with Krishna Nam. In that way, those addictions will go away very quickly, if you're strict in following these principles. Yeah. So I think you had a question.
When you chant mantra, when you chant Hare Krishna Maha mantra in your mind, then in in background, still there is some thoughts and some remembrance. Remembrance. How to avoid all these thoughts?
Или просто недостаточно получается новое, основное концентрацию держать просто на мантре.
Is it enough to just concentrate on mantra itself?
So, when we chant Hare Krishna, we have these material thoughts competing with the Maha Mantra. I'm just saying, if I understand your question correctly. So, how do we conquer over them? Is chanting enough? Did I understand your question correctly?
Okay.
Now, the answer is that chanting is enough. Because Krishna's name is all attractive. And Krishna's name contains everything about Krishna. Within the name, within the two syllables, Krishna, everything about Krishna is present. Within those two syllables, all of Krishna's pastimes are there. All of his forms, all of his incarnations, all of his qualities, all of his teachings, his holy dhams are present within those two syllables. Simply within those two syllables, the whole spiritual world is present. So if you will, if you will fix your mind, solidly fix your mind in Krishna, you will get that higher taste, and all the lower tastes will go away. Vishayavanivaratante nirahara-shadehina rashavarsham rishopyasya parang drishvanivaratate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. I mean, what is our mind distracted by? So many distractions are there. A beautiful woman, some eating, some sleeping, you see. So many distractions are there. But Krishna is more attractive. He's more attractive than millions and billions of beautiful women. He's more attractive than trillions of euros. He's more attractive than anything in this world. So if your mind is dancing like a monkey, it's not fixed in nama samadhi. You just need to intensify your meditation, Prabhu. You just got to go deeper into the name. Srila Prabhupada says every syllable should be distinctly chanted and heard. Even if one chants softly to oneself, still it should be loud enough so you can hear what you're saying. It can be very faint. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. It can be very faint. But you should hear it. You must hear that vibration of Krishna's name on your lips. Because if you focus on pronouncing it and hearing it, the mind has nowhere to escape. So make sure you're pronouncing each syllable distinctly. And make sure you're hearing it. And if you do it attentively, there'll be so much nectar you wouldn't want your mind to go anywhere else. Okay?
А вот когда как бы ну произносишь слух, когда слушаешь, как бы ну так проще, так он не сильно бегает. А когда именно ну про себя, ну мысли как
вот. But when you chant loudly, it's more easier, but when you chant in your mind.
No, chanting should be audible.
На самом деле воспевание должно быть вслух.
You have to make it audible.
Ты должен делать это вслух.
Just to think Hare Krishna is not sufficient in this age. We are meant to chant. That means to make it audible, to pierce the ether with the sound vibration. In this age, mental meditation is not sufficient. Prabhupada clearly says every syllable must be distinctly chanted and heard. That means you can hear the sound. Prabhupada's chanting, his japa was audible. You can see the videos. He's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You can hear Prabhupada making it audible. So if you will absorb yourself in that vibration of the name, your mind will find great pleasure. And no pleasure of this world will be able to draw your mind away. In the beginning, the mind will be a rascal and go here and there. That's natural. Like a little child who runs wild around the house. But the parents train the child how to behave properly. So you have to train that little child of your mind to behave properly, Prabhu. Now you are the boss. Your mind has been bossing you around for millions of births, Prabhu. Now it's time to turn the tables. Now you become the boss. You tell the mind what to do. Okay, mind, now it's japa time. No dancing allowed. You must simply fix on this vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, if you become a strong, powerful leader, your rascal mind will surrender. And that mind, once it surrenders, it'll be your best friend. So now you are a bhakta leader. You have to make a bhakta out of your mind. There's a very nice song that teaches us how to do this by the poet Govindadas. Do you know that bhajan? Bajahu re mana Shri Nanda Nandana Habhaya Charanada Vindade. In this way, he's saying, my dear mind, now it's time for you to engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So, Prabhupada, in his commentary on that song, he says, the mind may object. Govinda Das, what will I do? I'll become bored. What can I do? And then Govinda Das, he sings. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dashare Pujana Saki Jana Admani Vedana Govinda Dasa Abhilasare. My dear mind, I have plenty of things for you to do, don't worry. You can hear about Krishna. You can chant Krishna. You can remember Krishna. You can worship Krishna. I have unlimited service for your mind. 24 hours a day I will engage you in samadhi. So don't you worry, my dear mind. I will give you plenty of things to do to keep yourself fully occupied. You don't have to be bored anymore. I'm going to give you unlimited nectar. In this way you become the guru and make your mind into a first class disciple. Okay? Yeah. Question?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Why, even after thousands of lectures, so enthusiastic about the...
Lectures?
Yes.
Okay.
So enthusiastic. We still, like, don't get this, even struggling to chant our 16 rounds after so enthusiastic lectures. Everything is clear. But we're still struggling so much chanting our 16 rounds and go out of Harinam.
So the question is, you can translate.
Почему же после стольких таких энтузиастичных лекций нам тяжело выходить на Харинаму и нам тяжело успевать даже 16 кругов Харе Кришны?
Why? We've heard thousands of lectures. We got so fired up at all these lectures, but still, when I see that bead back there, I go, well, I don't know. Devotees say, Prabhu, it's time to go on Harinam. I'm thinking, well, I don't know. Why is that? I can tell you why. Because I still think I'm the body. That's the problem. I'm still identifying with this blood and flesh. It's stupid, but I'm still doing that. I'm still thinking I'm the body. That's our problem. I'm thinking I am male. Or I am female. We're still misidentifying with this body. That's the big problem right there. We have to realize I have nothing to do with this body. You know, the six Goswamis, they would only sleep 1.5 hours a day. They were working hard, practically 24 hours a day, to push forward this movement. Did they find it to be troublesome? That, oh no, I have to restrict my sleeping, I'm one of the Goswamis, I have to set an example. They weren't struggling, they were relishing. You see, we neophytes, we're struggling to do our sadhana. But once you get to the Raganuga stage, you're just, it's a celebration of bliss. That's all you're doing, is celebrating the ecstasy. So all the only solution for us poor souls who are still struggling in the sadhana level is just to keep doing our sadhana faithfully, Prabhu. Do your duty. Chant your rounds. Go on Harinam Sankirtan. And by that execution, that faithful execution of sadhana bhakti, gradually you progress through all the stages and you come to the Raganuga stage. Where you were simply relishing the nectar. And if you could chant 100 rounds a day, you would do it because it's so sweet. If you could do Hare Nam for 1 million years without stopping, you would do it. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. Right now we're not very Krishna conscious. Right now we're simply trying to become Krishna conscious. We're praying to Prabhupada to give us His mercy that we can become Krishna conscious. We're praying to Guru, please Guru Maharaj, make me Krishna conscious. Pull me out of this poison of material sense gratification. Please save me. You see, this is the mood. Rupa Goswami, to show an example for us, he gave very nice shloka in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, in the prema shodandi bhaktir apiva yogatava vaishnavo jnanam vashiva karmaka ki yadaho satjati rabhyastiva yannarat dikka sadaketvai tatapyatsheja mulasati hey gopi janabalava vyatavyate hahamada shaivamam. He says, I have no love for Krishna. I have no attraction to hear and chant japa or harinams and kirtan. I have no attraction for it. I don't have the mystic power of a Vaishnava. I don't have knowledge. I don't have pious activities. I was born in a low-class family. If I examine myself, I'm completely bereft of any qualification to take up Krishna consciousness. But my dear Lord Gopi Janabalava, you are famous for being very merciful to the fallen souls. And therefore I have this unbreakable hope within my heart that somehow or other by your mercy I can achieve that supreme destination of your lotus feet. But when I think about how unqualified I am, with no taste for Harinam, no taste for Japa, I really feel bad about it. So that's Rupa Goswami's prayer. So we can learn from Rupa Goswami. We have to beg for the mercy. You have to become we're professional beggars here. Prabhupada presented himself like that also, a beggar. So learn how to beg your Guru Maharaj, learn how to beg Prabhupada, learn how to beg Lord Chaitanya for that mercy. Please give me prema. Please give me bhakti. Please save me from this position where I have no taste. Please give me Namaruchi. Please help me, my dear spiritual master. Please help me, my dear Krishna. In this way, if you will beg every day, beg, 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 then you will get that mercy. And the name will become unlimitedly attractive to you. Just as it did to Narad Muni. After he associated with the Bhaktivedantas, he had no qualification. He was a Sudra boy. He had no qualification for Krishna consciousness. But he happened to want to go nearby his house. The sages were spending the Chaturmasya season there in the forest near his house. So he would go every day and he would hear that Krishna Gita from their mouths. He would hear very attentively the Krishna Gita. And then he would sometimes get the remnants of the prasad. So by these two things, by hearing and by that remnants of the prasad, The very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to him. And he became the great Narad Muni. Krishna personally revealed himself to him. And now he can travel and preach wherever he wants. He's the ultimate brahmachari. He doesn't need a visa. He doesn't need a ticket on Air Baltic. He can just show up wherever he wants with his vina. And just by stroking the string on his vina, ding, he can inspire 33 million demigods to engage in sankirtan. He can drive Shiva and Brahma and Indra into ecstasy. That is the great potency of Narada Muni. So you should become like Narada Muni, Prabhu. Simply hear very, very, very attentively and get the remnants of the Mahapashab. And then you become like Narada Muni with unlimited taste for the name. Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness process. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And now to the Mahapashad.
Jai Shri Mahasankarsana Jai Maharaj ki jai.